the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's always a joy to preach on this particular gospel, that's for sure. Because the essence of it is God is love with no change or turning in him. He is love. And what a wonderful message for today. So how did this start out? Well, in the beginning of chapter 15 of Luke here, the Lord taught this parable. Why? Because the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him, it says. And what was the problem with that? Well, the scribes and the Pharisees complained, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. So this is why he launched into several of these parables. So one was about losing the one sheep and out of the hundred and finding it. The other was about a woman losing her coin and searching for it. And this is the third one that we're looking at right here. So he is really trying to open up the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees here, as well as assuring those who are the tax collectors and the sinners that they are welcome. So we start out, of course, this sequence of Sundays. We had the publican and the Pharisee. And we also sang for the first time this morning the Rivers of Babylon. So open to me the doors of repentance, O giver of life, it says. And by the streams of Babylon we sat down and wept as we remembered Zion. On the willows we hung our harps, for how could we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And that is just quite touching. So next week and the week after, we'll also sing this. So if you come a little early in Matins, you'll hear this. But it really touches the heart. And the essence of it is we're strangers in a strange land. This is not our home. And let's not make ourselves too comfortable here. So what is our home? And it's interesting that the saints that we commemorate today, the martyrs Pamphilus and his companions that were martyred under Diocletian, they were brought before the judge. And the judge questioned them closely. Where are you from? What are your names? And so they changed their names to Christian names. But he says, now where are you from? And they said, we are from Jerusalem on high. Isn't that wonderful? They said, we're from the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we're from. So therefore, he tells this parable. And he says that there were two sons. And of course, the landowner here is God the Father. And the younger son says, you know, divide to me the inheritance. So this is what he did. But this was an act to be taken lightly because this was an agricultural community. And so if you had sons, they would help you with the farming and with the ranching. And everyone held this in common. And this would help the family if he stayed. So this was actually an affront to the father. This considered an offense to the parents. But he demanded it. He says, I want what's mine, and I'm going to go do what I want. That sounds familiar. I think all of us have experienced such sentiments. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to do what I want. Well, okay. So what happened to him? Well, he went down, it says. And not many days hence, took his journey into a far country. And how far away was it? Well, it was far from the father. It was far from the landowner. And this was a problem because he spent everything he had on, it says, riotous living. In other words, giving himself every kind of pleasure that the world could offer. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of the country, it says, and we understand that to be the demons. So there was a citizen of that country who was calling the shots, and he said, okay, you can go, and you can go be with the pigs, with the swine. That's where you're going to be. And it's really interesting that that didn't satisfy him, did it? That was not what he was expecting in that country. So the swine, as it says, St. Justin Popovich, he says the swine here are the passions. They're the passions, like lust and anger, greed, envy, which are always greedy and gluttonous. In such a life, the unfortunate man is nothing more than insane, says St. Justin. So in other words, we have some kind of insanity going on where he thinks he's going to have this wonderful life and he finds out it's empty. And worse than empty, it's miserable because he's trying to feed these passions which can never be satisfied. If you start out on the road of the passions, they're going to eat you alive. And you're going to end up with nothing. And of course, we know this from experience. Now, this could be any of these passions, but of course, in the epistle today, some of those passions are emphasized. St. Paul reminded the Corinthians that their bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit in the epistle. How horrible then for us to join the temple of the Holy Spirit to harlots or to use them in sexually immoral ways outside of marriage. Because our bodies are members of Christ destined to live with him in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the kingdom on high. How can we do these types of deeds? Because you know what? When we use our bodies as instruments for pleasure and not as dedicated in holiness to God, the end result is only disaster. Well, he found that out because pretty soon these passions, these swine, did not give him anything to eat. He was hungry. A famine descended on the land. And we can understand that this was, in a spiritual sense, a famine. He was dying. As a matter of fact, he died. He died spiritually here. He was overwhelmed by the passions and they killed him. So getting lost here in this world, in the passions, in our Orthodox understanding, that means death. That's how we die, spiritually. So he says, he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine ate, but no man gave it to him. Certainly the demons aren't going to give it to you. They want you dead. So what did he do? Well, it says he came to himself. In other words, he kind of woke up and said, you know, this is not what life is all about, is pleasures and surfeiting and all kinds of passions. That's not what life is about. And he came to himself and he ripened a resolve to please God. So he said, you know, my father's servants have enough and to spare. And here I am perishing with hunger. And I'm no more worthy to be called his son. And make me as one of the hired servants, he says. But nevertheless, he got up and he started his journey back. So this is very important. So he repented, right? This is what repentance is all about. Repentance is a change of direction. He changed his direction. He was going outward and down. And that wasn't too pleasant for him. And so he decided to go up and begin the process of return, which we know is repentance. And that's how it all starts, with repentance, to waking up to the spiritual nature of our life. This is the fact. This is the truth. And when we wake up to that spiritual nature of our life, we begin to want to turn. And so he arose, turning and heading backwards towards his father's house, the way he came. And it says, while he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What a beautiful verse. How beautiful that he is accepted back. He didn't know what would happen. He thought his father might be angry, that he might have him jailed, that he might suffer all kinds of loss, but he didn't care. Right? We know that God loves us. We have a huge advantage here. But he didn't know that. And he still chose to head back because he was starving. There was nothing to eat. There was no spiritual benefit where he was. And so what happens is the father loves him and kisses him. And not only that, when he repents and he confesses, he says, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's humble, isn't it? He had humility and repentance In other words, he was doing just what you're doing here with Father Volodymyr. He is repenting. And God is receiving him. And so he said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Well, this is a beautiful summary in symbol form of all of the sacraments, right? So he repented. He turned towards, we could say, the church. And in this case, he got a robe, which is, I guess, like this one right here, which all of you have, or most of you, is the baptismal robe. He was given a robe. In other words, he was baptized. He was given a ring or a seal of the Holy Spirit. He was given the Holy Spirit. He was given, as well, shoes on his feet to preach the gospel of peace. He had wisdom now. And on top of that, the fatted calf was killed, and he was offered the feast. And we understand that, of course, to be the sacrifice of our Lord and the feast that we're going to be participating in of the body and blood of our Lord. So we can even understand that from the Vespers last night, where it says, brethren, let us learn the power of this mystery. For when the profligate son ran back from sin to his father's hearth, the all-good father, coming out to meet him, kissed him and gave him back again the tokens of his own glory, and completed the mystical journey of those on high by sacrificing the fatted calf, so that we might live lives worthy of the loving Father who offered the sacrifice of the glorious sacrificial victim, the Savior of our souls. So that's from Vespers last night. So, yes, so this is communion. So he's given all of the sacraments, the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of chrismation, and as well as communion. Wow, this is wonderful. So he is back into the kingdom. And this is a glorious thing, and the angels are rejoicing. And this is a cause for celebration, is it not? Mm-hmm. The loving God has received his son back. So this is indeed what it's all about. He said, basically, let me be as the hired servant. In other words, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. I'd rather be at the lowest rung in heaven than out there having a good time in the tents of wickedness. Good call. So, yeah, St. John of Kronstadt says about this, for what can be more shameful than the food of the passions? God forbid that anyone remain forever in this separation from God. To be far from God is true and eternal perdition. So he was truly dead. And the return that he experienced was truly a resurrection from the dead. This requires a celebration. So he revealed and understood his own divine nature, and he got regeneration and conversion and was accepted back by the Father. So this is wonderful, it's celebratory, and all the hosts of heaven cried out. However, the elder son was there too. And who is the elder son? Now, of course, this was kind of directed at the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay, you guys who are there with your robes and you're in the temple and you're saying your long prayers and you're doing everything to judge everyone else. All right, what is it that I have to say to you? Well, it's the elder son. That while the younger one was off and spent his means and came back, the elder son was with the father. But as we can see here, the younger son's return reveals his distance from the father. In other words, he was somewhere near there, but he wasn't there. And how do we know that? Because of his reaction here. All the hosts of heaven celebrated the return of the younger son, but he didn't. What was his reaction here? What was the older son's reaction? Of what? Jealousy, envy, and anger, wasn't it? Jealousy, envy, and anger. Are those things passions? Yep. So all of a sudden, this younger son coming back has evoked passions in the older one, showing that he was at a distance from his father, wasn't he? He was out in the fields, it says. He was way out there. It seemed like he was with his father all the time, but he wasn't. His heart was somewhere else. In other words, he was going through the motions. He had all the right trappings. He all looked good. But there's something rotten there, isn't there? The passions got a hold of him. Envy, anger, and other passions. And so it says he came back to the house and he was angry. He was angry with God. He was angry with his brother looking down his nose at him. You know, how can you do this? How can you give him this wonderful feast when he's done this to you? He's spent all this money. He doesn't deserve anything. And yet the father came out to the elder son and he tried to reason with him in a very loving way. We should be celebrating, he said. This is wonderful. This younger son has lost his way. He was dead, he says, and now he has returned and is alive. So the elder son did not imitate the father's love, did he? He had lost that love. So everything was right. This is kind of like the Pharisee last week. Everything looked good. He fasted twice in the week. He gave tithes of everything he had. He said long prayers. He did everything he should do, and yet he didn't have any love. He said, look at that publican. This one's saying, look at this younger brother. I'm angry. I'm envious. He gets something I don't get. Well, that is not the way to go. This parable does not tell us what happened. We can only surmise what happened here. But remembering that it's directed at the scribes and the Pharisees helps us to understand what might have happened. So Kronstadt really focuses in on these passions, and I think this is the important part. That's why we say to be passionless is extremely important in the Orthodox Church if we're looking for salvation. Listen to what St. John of Kronstadt says about this parable. He says, at the same time, take notice, brethren, that as many forms as there are of sins or passions, so also are there return paths to the Heavenly Father. Every sin or passion is a path to a country far from God. Did you leave by the road of faithlessness? Turn back. And further, recognize that it's foolishness. Feel with your whole heart its heaviness, emptiness, perdition, and stand with a firm footing on the path of faith, calming, sweet, and life-giving for the heart of a man, and hold on to it with your whole heart. Did you leave by way of pride? Turn back and go by way of humility. Hate pride, knowing that God resists the proud. Did you leave by way of envy? Turn from the diabolical road and be content with what God has sent, and remember whose offspring it is. The first envier was the devil, and by the envy of the devil, sin entered into the world. Be well disposed towards everyone. If you left the way by enmity and hatred, turn back and go the way of meekness and love. Remember that whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Or did you depart from God by gluttony and dissolute living? Turn back and go the way of moderation and chastity. And remember, as a rule of life, the words of our Savior, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be overburdened with self-indulgence and drunkenness and cares of this life. And use the words of the repentant prodigal son, we have sinned before thee and are no longer worthy to be called thy sons. Receive us even as hirelings, and he surely will receive us back as his children. So Lent is not about earning anything from God. It's not about changing God's mind about us. Because God is love. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not going to change him, and we don't want to. But what we are going to try to change is our own heart. That's what Lent is all about. It's changing our minds so that we can return to God. So all the tools that we have, the fasting, the prayers, the almsgiving, everything that's coming up for us in Lent, is helping us to see the truth about ourselves. It's revealing to us that we're spiritual beings. And we need to wake up to that reality. Mm-hmm. So no matter what we've done, no matter how far we have strayed down these paths, no matter any situation that we might find ourselves, he patiently waits for our return. He is loving with opened arms, and is waiting to welcome us back into his family with celebration. And why are we refusing? Are we doing what the elder brother did, perhaps, blaming God? Are we doing what the younger brother did at first, refusing to turn back? But Lent is calling us, and let us humbly return to the heavenly homeland, indeed our home, the very Jerusalem on high. May he bless us in this. Amen.